Shivani's ready whenever you are.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Oregon Board of Education meeting of October 20th, 2020. We'll have a call to order with the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence. The moment of silence this evening is for Frank Spunky Coughlin, who established our first safety town and we think was our first SRO in our school. For Bonnie Lutzman, who is a secretary at our library center. And for William Bill Walt, who is a science and PE teacher at FAFSA.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have the roll call, please,
Mrs. Shirley? Mr. Shea?
Present.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Molnar?
Here.
And Mr. Zanetsky?
Here.
I need a motion for adopting the agenda as written, except Mr. Kennedy, you would like to pull under new business.
Item number 4, V4.
You want to pull calendars, correct?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
Which is B. So we'll pull that.
To have further discussions on the time frames leading up to the start date. I don't think we've finished those conversations over the time of Corona. We never quite,
got there.
Could have been everything, right?
Okay. All right, so may I have a motion to adopt the agenda without item B under new business?
So
moved.
Second. Discussion. Roll call. Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zabinski?
No.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. We move on to item 5, staff and community recognition.
Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. Going to start off tonight with a little presentation. Richard Lewis from the Ohio School Boards Association made the trek up here from Columbus, so we appreciate it to join us on our first in-person meeting in a long time. But I'm excited why you are here. I know you'll take a moment to explain what you're here to present and to honor one of our special people up here. So I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Again, my name is Rick Lewis. I'm the Executive Director and CEO of the Ohio School Boards Association. I think all of you are aware, but for everybody who might be watching tonight, the Ohio School Boards Association is a private nonprofit association that represent 100% of the school boards in the state of Ohio. We've been around since 1965, and the only reason we exist is to serve as a source of assistance, guidance, unity, and support to the public school boards in this state. I appreciate so much you allowing me to be part of your program this evening. I know you have a busy agenda. I promise to keep my comments brief, but I don't want the brevity to undermine the importance of the words this evening. Today, hard work, commitment to excellence, and that above and beyond effort too often goes unnoticed, unthanked, and unappreciated. And that should not be the case. And that's why I'm here this evening. Public school board service is a very difficult thing. I know you all get it, but for those who think it's simply attending a meeting once a month or maybe passing out the diplomas at the end of the year, they truly underestimate what goes into it. It takes so much time, the hard work, the dedication, the sacrifice behind the scenes, the continual effort towards professional development, time away from your family, time away from your job. And just that dedication is so, so important. The rewards of board service, frankly, are few. When you look at the big scheme, there has to be an easier way to make $125 a month. And you certainly don't do it for all the public accolades. But I know you do it because in the end, you want to make a difference. You want to make your schools a better place to learn, your communities a better place to live. And if we're able to accomplish those things, we certainly have made a difference in lives. And there is no more better reward than that. The Ohio School Boards Association exists, as we said, to help school board members do their jobs. And everything that we do, everything that we believe in, all the programs that we offer, all the services that we provide are directed by people just like you, school board members from around the state. The people who serve on our boards are the leaders of the leaders. They're the school board members who have been selected by their peers to help provide leadership to the state as a whole. And we've been very fortunate at OSBA that Oregon City has shared one of your own with us. Ms. Carol Ann Molnar serves on our board of trustees and a number of other functions. And tonight we're here to say thank you. Now, I know you're aware that Ms. Molnar has been a board member for 10 years now? And during that time has served in a number of capacities, school board president, school board vice president, a delegate to the OSBA business meeting, legislative liaison, and a leadership from your school board to the state of Ohio for student achievement. But she's also served your region in many capacities. She served on your region's executive committee. She has served on the arrangements and hospitality committee, which reaches out and brings new school board members and serves as a mentor to them as well. And most recently, Mrs. Molnar now serves on the OSBA Board of Trustees. She's attended countless town halls. She's participated in professional development above and beyond over these last 10 years, all in effort to make your schools a better place to learn. So in our highly competitive world today, the responsibility of how communities respond to the educational challenge are placed on the shoulders of men and women who serve on our school boards. And they are placed specifically on those who lead. So tonight, we want to take a moment to say thank you to Carol Ann Molnar for serving on the OSBA Board of Trustees, and not just providing leadership to the students in Oregon City or to the Northwest region, but to nearly 1.7 million students across the entire state of Ohio. And again, that type of above and beyond, that type of hard work, that type of dedication to excellence should not go unthanked and unrecognized. And that's why I'm here tonight, Carol, is to say thank you for all that you do. Now, imagine if you could, this is where I would normally be presenting you with a really cool plaque. Sadly, I realized about 10 minutes before the meeting, it's still sitting on my kitchen table. So, there's nothing to say. I have to own it. I definitely have to own it, but we'll get that up to you. But I know it's not about the physical rewards, but it was so important to OSBA that we got the chance to come up here and personally say thank you for everything you've done for us over this past year, and make certain to say that to all those who are in the audience and to your community as well. Now, I don't want to leave this evening without saying thank you to the rest of the board. From day one at OSBA, we recognize there's no such thing as a successful individual school board member. It's only working as a team that you're able to accomplish anything at all worthwhile. And we know that Carol Molnar would not have been able to serve on the OSBA board without your support. without your willingness to step up and help her as she serves in that new capacity. So we also want to say thank you to the other four members of the board for your service, your dedication, your support to OSBA, and your support to Mrs. Caroline Molnar as she serves as a leader for 3,500 school board members across the state of Ohio, and again, nearly 1.7 million students. So on behalf of the Ohio School Boards Association, please accept my gratitude as well. On behalf of the OSBA, our trustees, our membership and staff, thank you all for everything that you do. So Mr. Gregory, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. We truly appreciate the inclusion in your meeting. I'm mortified that I don't have a physical plaque to present tonight, but I promise to get those to you as soon as possible.
That's okay. Hey, here's for Mrs. Molnar. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Lewis. It's an honor and a privilege to serve with OSBA and help with whatever I can do.
We appreciate you very, very
much. Now, I don't know how we can do this, but can we figure out a way to get a quick picture before you sneak out?
Sure.
Maybe it's just you coming around, maybe behind you, Ms. Moore, if you're comfortable, and we just get one from up front. That at least we have something that we can share in our medias. And
with our masks?
With our masks, yeah. So come on around. And
nobody will notice us.
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for
it. Thank you, and have a safe drive back. Thank you for making the
stay safe, stay well.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want me to continue now?
Yes.
Some of the other recognitions here. So we do have just a couple I just want to share with the audience, some recognitions and some awards some of our staff have made. They're not here tonight. We really did try to kind of limit the number of people that might come out just because of COVID and stuff, but that doesn't mean we don't want to honor folks. We do have four of our staff members who have retired in the last several months. Jennifer Finson was a counselor at Coy Elementary for a number of years, and so we wish her the best and thank her for all her service all those years working with our kids. Douglas Ainley of the bus garage. Flo Ross, who was a paraprofessional for a number of years, and if anybody knew Flo, she's a big personality. We'll miss her quite a bit. And Jana Free, who is a lot of years, who is a bus driver in our district, and we want to wish her well, well also. So we have four other just kind of awards we want to bring to the board's attention and just publicly congratulate them. We want to recognize Lorraine Minky for receiving the Northwest Ohio OSBA Excellence in Community Service Award. Last week, I believe it was, the Northwest Region held their virtual conference. So it was an online thing that we're used to, but Mrs. Molnar did a very nice short video presenting her award. So that was very, very nice. Congratulations to Lorraine for all her volunteer service in our schools, primarily Jerusalem. We want to recognize Robin Sneed, our fourth grade gifted and talented teacher at Jerusalem, for receiving the Lucas County Soil and Water Conservation Educator of the Year Award. So congratulations to Robin. We would like to recognize Tricia Soltens, who's here tonight, for receiving the Ohio School Counselors Association Administrator Appreciation Award. So congratulations, and I know we got a kind of an upcoming ceremony here soon to actually have that award presented. And we would also finally like to recognize Elizabeth Turner, teacher here at Clay High School, for receiving the Sun Federal Credit Union Extraordinary Teacher of the Year Award, which is awarded to a Clay teacher or to a Oregon teacher each year. So congratulations to all those folks, well deserved, and we have a very special staff. Yep, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Public participation, do you have any cards? I have none.
I have no cards.
Okay, we'll skip that. Moving on to Patricia's report.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Really quick, before I get to the report I sent out to you guys, I just want to make sure you understand why we need approving motion item C. It's the Charles Harrison Associates. It's the agreed upon procedure so we can get the Medicaid money. We're looking at the 18-19 now, and then for the next 3 years. So that's what that is. That enables us to get the refund if we expect or do some. And then another quick note, it's behind my board update. It's the updated permanent appropriation measure. I believe I put little stars next to the two areas that are changing. Federal grants, it's 4A, and it's 44920, that was not in the last one. And then 499, there's two things in there. One was the psych for getting help with a psych, intern, he's working with Laura Zolfo, and we're getting help with his wages, which is a great help for the district. And then we also did receive the bus purchase money. It had been put on hold, and they opened it up again, and so we did get that grant, so that's coming in. So that's the other addition. That's the only change at this point. I just wanted to make you aware of what was changing on it. The state auditors have begun the cash audit. It's going to be electronic this year, so everything will be sent back and forth. I'm not sure how often they'll even be in the district, but we'll see how that goes. Gap conversion papers will be done this week. Some things I wanted to discuss. We didn't hold a finance committee meeting this month. We will next month because we'll have the five-year forecast to update. But there's some things I want to make sure we keep in front of the board so we don't lose track. The first thing is I hope the principals, I don't know how else to get this out to our parents, but lunches are free for the entire school year now. So people are still putting money. Some people set up automatic payments in the payment system. And we'll work with all the secretaries and all the buildings and we might get some of those people need refunds or if they want the money put towards fees, if we start collecting fees again. I just want to make sure it's out there. Students will not be charged for lunches this year. They've extended it to the entire year, okay? So parents need to know so they aren't putting those monies in this fund. School fees, at some point, we need to talk to the board. Are we going to collect them? How are we going to handle this? Because we kind of put a hold on them. And so we'll need to talk about that. The one thing I had also need to talk about, the fall participation fees for sports. We ended up having sort of a season, but I think it'd be fair at a minimum to see what percentage of the normal season they actually play and maybe adjust accordingly. Or we need to talk how we're going to handle that. The one thing I would ask that maybe we maintain, and this of course is a board decision, the career tech fees are a little different because those are truly for supplies they take with them. So if we maintain any fees, I would hope the career tech ones, but again, it's ultimately a board decision, but we don't want to not talk about it for too long here because it's, now that we're back, it gets further and further behind. Just wanted you to be aware, we have a process where we have a local attorney that keeps an eye on valuations when there are sales of properties or if there are people who are companies. This is all corporations. We don't touch homes anymore for homeowners. But if they're challenging their values, and we had several settlements this month, which really is better than normal, and I listed them here. We had some corporate settlements. The really nice thing, though, is that many companies, and he had a list of about 10 of them, that once they recognize that someone's actually looking over the challenges, they just drop them. Because it's just the way they do business. I get it. If you can save money, you try to. This is important, though, because it keeps it helps the homeowners. If someone gets a break at one end, someone else pays for it. So this helps protect the taxpayers from their values getting jumped up just because other people know how to work the system. So just wanted you to be aware of it. We're doing our insurance enrollment. It just started. It's a new system, so there's always some hiccups. I've been really happy. Savage and Associates have really helped in terms of they're reaching out to, they've allowed, they have some, they've set up Zoom meetings with people individually to help them through it. And it's just the first couple days of it. So we're still early, but that's happening right now. Unless there are questions, that's my whole report. Unless you have questions on the finances that were sent out previously.
Jane, on the settlement, those property tax funds, what are those funds?
Three months. The one is the general fund, of course. This 002 is our bond fund. NO03 CPI fund. Those are all the three funds that when we collect taxes, a percentage goes to each one. So like I believe it's 86% goes in the general fund and then like 13 and 4 something like that. I would say be wrong, but it's something like that.
Okay. And then for the insurance enrollment, is that an active or passive enrollment? Are we always active where they have to re-enroll every year or the
okay, in order to get the section 125, $100 that we negotiated, they need to go in and check their balances and check their addresses, you know, make sure their dependents are correct. That's how they get the $100. We actually now have a system, and when someone comes in and they are employed, we give them the ability to go online and sign up for insurances. So it's
well, if they do nothing, are they automatically enrolled, or is this an active insurance?
They do nothing. We keep them enrolled, but they won't get the $100. We kind of dangle that in front of them. So yeah. Otherwise, it's hard to get people to do it. The unions are going to help this year. Terry said she would help, but we've usually had, I'd say 98% of our people do it every year.
But,
okay, thank you. Yeah. On the lunch fees, pay-to-play fees, career type fees, et cetera, as a board, I think we should get this on the agenda sooner than later to discuss whether it's via Zoom or in person. I just, because if we decide to keep some of these fees, we don't want to pile it up on the parents all at once. So is that something we would?
I think maybe we start a discussion in one of the committees. I mean, finance committee.
Finance first.
And to me, that maybe might be the first, because I mean, I have some ideas in my head that are swirling around on addressing those. And we've always kind of talked that we would wait to see how the first quarter played out. And so now is probably the right time. So if we just pull together the finance committee, I think that would be a good place to start. We could certainly get input from the board maybe prior to that meeting or just after that meeting individually, you know what I mean, and get thoughts for sure. Just a thought of mine. We could do it as a whole board if we wanted to. I just think the finance committee seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just, like I said, I think it should be sooner than later.
That's why I put it on there, because I don't want it to drag out. You know, they're
yeah, correct. With school fees and then you have a kid that plays winter and fall sports and yeah. I have three fees staring you in the face come the end of the year. So
and
very,
Christmas.
Very Christmas time. Right?
Yeah, that's
no
good.
So I'm fine with it. Jeff, finance committee, yeah.
Yep.
And then get our input from the other board members prior to making the decision.
Okay. Put it in your mind. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? May I have a motion to accept the treasurer's report, please?
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zadisky.
Yeah.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
And Mrs. Moore.
Yes. Do we have any need for an executive session? Anybody need an executive session? Okay. Consent agenda. Are there any items that the members of the board wish to pull from the regular meeting consent agenda?
Yes, I would like to pull B4 to vote on separately.
Okay. Any other? All right, yeah, I have a motion to accept the consent agenda minus the what Mr. Kennedy asks.
So moved.
Second? Discussion?
I got a quick question. On B2, the flexible custodian. What is that? A lot of the other stuff we've been talking about, hours, like up to so many hours, this is just flexible. What does that mean? You just kind of use as needed or?
No, a flexible custodian is what all of our custodians, it gives us the flexibility to place them at the buildings that they're needed, but they are full-time 10-month employees. They are the ones who are going to be disinfecting multiple buildings. Well, two of the three are, and the other one is the event custodian that was reduced last spring.
Is that why the difference in hourly rate then? Or is that?
No. They're different rate because one of the individuals has multiple years experience and is placed on step two.
Okay.
The other ones are step zero.
All right. Thank you.
Indeed, this is in response to pandemic, just for extra sanitizing and cleanliness in the buildings, etc.
Okay.
Mr. Sandwich says that's correct. Can't see him shake his head. Okay, so is there anything further? That's the discussion. We need a roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller. Yes. Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zivinsky.
Yes.
Mrs. Walner.
Yes. So now we need to vote on item four, numbers A, number six, which is Mr. Kennedy being a volunteer basketball coach. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
All right. Mr. Zivinsky.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller. Yes. Mr. Shea.
Yes.
And Mrs. Walner?
Yes.
And are you
abstaining? Okay. Moving on to new business, we have policies. These policies have been reviewed and revised and are being presented for their first reading. A motion recommending the adoption will be made in November. We're moving past the school calendars down to donations. Item C, we need a motion to accept the following donations. Ralphie's Food, approximately $1,000 for the coaches and players during the 2020 football season, and for Ms. Betty Metz, who made a donation of masks to the elementary schools in the district for students K-2. Can I have that motion, please?
So moved.
Any discussion?
Thank you, Ralphie's.
I'm
sorry. Food is always so good.
Motion. Second?
So moved.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zivinsky.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller. Yes. Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Moving on to item D, transportation contracts. We need a motion to enter into transportation contracts with the following for the 2021 school year. John and Trina Floyd to transport their daughter to St. Ursula Academy. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Quick question on the difference between E and D and E.
Oh, if you don't mind, I can help with this one. The transportation contracts are a set amount from the state. We pay for, because we don't transport to that parochial school. The item below is going to be, this is happening every single day. And we have to pay for it because of the, I believe it's the IEP. Is that fair to say?
It's a special needs student that we needed specialized transportation for. So a family member is going to take over that rather than a bus. So we're entering into an agreement with that family member. We've done this on occasion over the years. It's maybe two or three or situations where we really don't have any other alternative. It really only works with a family member. I'm
where
assuming
the $75 per day come from?
I'm sure Mrs. Kosick negotiated with the family for what they would do it with.
Aren't they going to Columbus?
Is that
to Columbus?
Not in this case.
I don't believe this is to Clay.
It's less than we would pay for the TLC van that we'd use otherwise. So it is a rate that's lower. And it is a family member, and it's much safer for everyone involved. But the student is a student here at Clay High School.
And so they live in Oregon and to be transported to Clay?
Yes.
I believe we've done that ever since he's in high school.
Definitely done it the last 2 years.
Yes. Okay, so we are on. So we did motion, second, discussion. We need a roll call for item D with the Floyd family.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller? Yes. Mr. Zivinsky?
Yeah.
Mrs. Warren?
Yes. On to item E, which is student transportation agreement. We need a motion to approve an agreement with Charles Reardon to transport his brother to and from Clay High School, effective September 15, 2020. For the remainder of the 2021 school year at the rate of $75 per day for the child, for the days the child is in attendance.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shank?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zipke?
Yeah.
Mrs. Miller? Yes.
Yes. Item F, we need a request for advance of taxes. At this time, the board needs to take action to request that the auditor advance us the taxes that have been collected to date. A copy of this request has been distributed to the board. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zipke?
Yeah.
Mr. Shank?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Yes. Moving to item G, the Oregon Economic Development Foundation. We need a motion to renew the membership to the Oregon Economic Development Foundation for the 2021 year, and the fee is $250. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shank?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Yes. Item H, disposal of equipment and materials. The items listed on the September 15th agenda for disposal have been disposed of in accordance with board policy. And we're done with new business. We're moving to the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Molnar. I'll be certainly willing to entertain questions because I think, you know, about what's going on, because most of my reports COVID related, that's where a lot of what's going on. So just kind of quick highlight, I obviously want to thank all of you and our community for supporting our restart plan that, you know, we put in place a few weeks ago, and that is rolling. And, you know, I feel very good about where we're at least within a school system at this point. I know there's a lot of swirling concern with COVID in the state and certainly in the county and throughout America, that is. But right here in our own little world, we're doing everything we can to continue to keep our kids in school. And I think we've got some advantages happening here in Oregon that maybe some other places don't have. And I'll talk about those in a little bit. So again, I wanted to thank all of you. We started 7 through 12 this week in our hybrid. So just in a quick visual and a few conversations, like Mr. Jersky, I spoke with right before I came up here, and I asked him, hey, another good day, because yesterday went well for his point of view. And again, went well means, you know, you're looking at all the pieces of the day, from getting here to lunch to leaving. And so he said he had another good day with the second group of kids today. So they'll be off tomorrow and then back to the 2 days in school. And that'll be this next 2 weeks. Looking forward to November 2nd, bringing all kids back. In the elementaries, we started with all our students back, and it certainly was great to see these little kids in their little masks and kids get around. But again, I just want to reiterate the idea that according to the principals, I mean, there were some bumps, you know, a few procedural things we continue to have to work out with, especially the coming to school and leaving school, because we have so many more parents that are dropping off and picking up than we've ever had at all three elementaries. So Mrs. Soltes can certainly tell you all the what she's learned in the last 2 days. But all in all, I was out at Star today for pickup, and it went real, real well. So there's some things we're gonna have to adjust over time, just based right now, parents are outside of the buildings kind of waiting, and you know, when the weather gets really rough, we're gonna have to figure out ways to accommodate that and try to keep people from crossing paths and mingling and all that. And you know, it's just not that easy. So it takes practice and takes time and a lot of, you know, evaluation and we'll eventually get there. But with that being said, what's happening in our schools, you know, each and every day in our classrooms seems to be going well. It's like, you know, riding a bicycle. You just kind of jump back into it and get going. So I did put out, you know, to our community, and it's been received very well, I think, kind of why we would look at changing our plans. And I, you know, obviously the board has seen those, but really anything can fit under these. One, and our most important is our staffing levels. We can't maintain our staffing levels, whether that's, you know, our teaching staff or our support staff or our bus drivers. And you know, those are things that really could significantly impact us. We are already short subs in multiple buildings every day. So it is already affecting us. Some quarantine reasons, others just typical absences for folks. So we will continue to monitor that. you know, we are going to do everything in our power to avoid outbreaks in our schools of COVID for sure. If we do, though, I just want to, I guess, reassure people that we're going to deal with it and we're going to isolate it and we're going to get through it. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to shut down the entire school or shut down the entire district. It may mean we have to look at a hiatus for a couple of weeks, potentially, if it's pretty significant in a school. Again, working with the health department, they have become very willing to listen to schools' needs, if that makes sense. They're already looking at adjusting how strict they are in quarantining other kids. If a kid is sick, for example, up until today, if a kid was sick, we had to quarantine or send home all the individuals around them. We no longer have to do that unless a student is positive. Now that is significant change, and that's going to keep kids in school. Now I'm telling you, every week we're having conversations with Eric and about keeping kids in school. That's our mission, our goal is to keep kids in school. We know we have these barriers in front of us, but we need to work through those. So I'm very excited about the possibility of, you know, using some common sense and dealing with things in a way that can keep kids in school. Any questions on any of that? Again, there's a lot more going on at every level, but our staff stepped up beyond belief. They're doing wonderful at every level. So super, super proud of all of them. I just listed some of the things that we're going through. You know, you guys are aware of all the different safety measures we put in place. And, you know, one of the ones we're struggling with a little bit are the acrylic barriers. We're running into a little mechanical failure on some of them. These barriers are three pieces of acrylic that are together with a connector. Those connectors are loose in some cases. And so these little kids are carrying these things and they're falling apart. So we're working with the manufacturer and I'm trying to figure that out, but we'll get through that. And, you know, they're working well. You know, we're doing all our cleaning, disinfecting, those types of things. We hired, you know, the board just hired some new custodians to help support that. We're bringing in temporary weekly substitutes to try to help cover as people are leaving the buildings potentially at any point in the day. You know, we have to have subs on call. So these are folks that are just there in the buildings on call when we need them. So, you know, but we've got a good plan. And that really leads me to the next one, which I'm very excited about. I put an email out last week and it all kind of stemmed from just conversations with the health department and our partnership with Mercy. In your package, you have a press release that Mercy Health will be putting out, I believe tonight, or at least sharing with the media. So my intent is to put this out myself after this meeting, hopefully, or tomorrow morning at the latest. And really, it's not a complicated partnership, but right now we're the only one, you know, benefiting from this mobile testing program that they have, and it all stemmed from us reaching out to them, and it's been our partnership, and then Sherry Sexton's relationship with Mercy, and it's come together, and working with the health department, who is going to provide a lot of kits. They have testing kits that they're going to be providing, I guess, on our behalf to the mobile unit. I'm telling you, this what we did yesterday was the only day we had. Now, I didn't get stats for today. Yesterday, we had 23 students and staff, again, less staff, just a couple of staff, more students that were ill, went home sick. Each and every one of them was given a call that day, and 19 of those 23 were tested in the same afternoon. And the other four were not tested because the parents either refused or weren't home, and we're still working through that. We shouldn't, because they call 15 minutes ahead of time to get confirmation, so not sure what happened with some of those. But bottom line is, we got results for some of those today. We'll probably get more of those results tomorrow, so it's a quick turnaround. I mean, this is amazing. They test them, they give a little bag of candy, and off they go. It was so nice. I didn't know that. So that's the feedback I got.
Once someone is tested,
okay,
how long is it before they can be tested again? So say, for instance, they come back to school, or are they tested before they come back to school?
If, again, the only kids or staff that are being tested are those that have symptoms. Okay, there's a big separation between those that don't have symptoms and think they might have exposed symptoms. So if they have symptoms, they're tested. As if they come back negative, they can come back as soon as they're symptom free for 24 hours. But what that does for us isn't so much about the individual person kid, but it allows us, again, prior to today, we were quarantining a whole bunch of folks that were around those kids. Now we don't have to do that for really two reasons. One, they've changed their policy. And two, we're getting results back quicker. Now, if they're positive, then it immediately kicks in the whole contact tracing. And, you know, then we are going out, you know, checking kids and isolating those kids and going through that. So far, that hasn't been, we haven't had to go down that road yet. Did that answer your question?
But if they're tested negative mm-hmm. and they're ill a week later, will they be eligible to be tested again through insurance?
Well,
or through their doctor? Because I know I've heard of people that have been tested and then their doctor said, well, we can't test you again because we just tested you a little while ago.
I don't know that answer related to it, but my conversations about the mobile health or the mobile team from Mercy is that they are testing it at no cost to the individual. In other words, whatever their insurance pays is what they will accept. If my guess is if let's say we actually have a case that it was about 2 weeks later and another person, an adult, but got sick again, and they're getting tested again. Now it's not through this unit, so it's through their own situation. So I'm imagining they would go out and do that on our behalf. Yeah, if they were negative.
Hey, how our Aetna has also picked up the COVID test.
Good. Yeah.
So just so you're aware, I get a report on how much they're spending on behalf of our employees.
Yeah.
It doesn't help the kids, but the employees.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a couple of employees, like I said yesterday, part of that COVID or that mobile team experience. So anyways, we're going to get some, you know, public relations out of there, I guess, if you will, because it's legitimately, their goal is to help the community. I mean, it's not a profit making, it's not a money making thing. It's probably a money losing thing from what I'm being told. But their mission in Mercy Health is to help the community and with the goal of us keeping our kids in school, period. That's and obviously people safe, but keeping our kids in school. They understand that the ramifications of not having kids at school, I mean, more and more data is coming out as to the mental health and to the just the overall wellness. People are doing a lot less wellness types of things. So anyways. So again, thank you to all those. Matt Sapera, he was the one that kind of led the charge, and Eric Z over at the health department, and Nurse Sherry. And just a shout out for Nurse Sherry. She's working 24 hours a day, just so you know. I don't know when she sleeps, but I am not kidding you. I'm getting calls at 6 in the morning and 10 at night. Weekends, weekdays, it doesn't matter. And all legitimate, so we know what's going on and to help our community. There is one thing on my list I just want to put in front of you. I do think we need to have some conversation. I was going to recommend maybe we have this in finance committee as well, is just look at our substitute teacher pay, daily rate. It is a struggle. Many of our substitutes who would normally be coming are not comfortable coming in the COVID era. And so it's we're just not filling, and the staff's picking it up and they're supporting us right now, and we're getting through it the first few days. So if we could maybe add that to that agenda and have a conversation with, you know, we can get what currently is being paid, but we're thinking maybe even jumping it up on $25 and maybe go to 125. Don't know if that's the right number or the wrong number. I just know we're at 100 now, just so everybody knows, for flat $100. And then finally tomorrow, excited, been waiting for this for a long time, but we'll be announcing the 2019, even though 2020 is almost over, the 1920 school year, but Teacher of the Year, Support Staff of the Year, and Administrator of the Year. So for last year, even though we're a quarter into the new year, we're going to be announcing that tomorrow. So we'll be going around and making those presentations, taking pictures and putting it out. Normally we do it in a much more organized and high profile way, but we're excited to let those individuals know, and then we'll let you know tomorrow. Okay, any questions? All right, thank you everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The signage in the building reminds me of that old movie Up the Down Staircase, which nobody here will remember anymore, but I do.
You've never heard about snow here.
I love that.
Yeah, the buildings are really well marked for the kids, that I don't think they can hardly go wrong with all the arrows and roundabouts and so forth. Okay, old business, anyone? Board committee reports, finance?
No report.
Capital improvement, health and safety?
No report.
Policy, you have the policies for the November meeting. Academic?
Just a few quick things. The first quarter ended on the 15th. The grades are going to be final on the 23rd. Third graders, reading testing is going to be on the 25th and the 26th, and that includes the Digital Academy. On November the 2nd, K through 6 is a work day, and November 3rd, of course. K through 6 has conferences. Grades 7 through 12 will be a professional learning day. Most of the conferences will be virtual, but a teacher can request an in-person conference if necessary. So other than that, hopefully things are going well. Sounds like Jennifer Crackle has been really busy lately. So hopefully things are going smoothly. First couple of days in the high school today sounded pretty good from a firsthand experience. And glad to be back in session because it's going to help a ton in person teaching. So. That's it.
Thank you. Legislative?
No report.
Student achievement?
I just wanted to mention about the football team making it to the playoffs for the first time in school history. Been doing well. So, a great accomplishment.
Yes, thank you. Board discussion? Any need for an executive session? Okay, announcement of special and regular monthly meetings. I get November 17th. Is that correct, Mrs. Shrew?
Yes, November 17th.
Okay, should we go into, Lord forbid that we go backwards, that we would go virtual again then for meetings? If we go backwards and have to.
If we're shut down by the state, you're saying?
Yes.
I think we have to.
If students are virtual,
I just want to make sure that that's 100% clear with
everyone. So is that how we want to define it? If students are going virtual for whatever reason, that we come to that, our board meetings would be virtual.
Have a special meeting.
To talk about it? Oh, yeah. Oh, before I
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that that's clear. But November 17th, 6 o'clock up here, unless something happens. Anything else for the good of the board?
Can we get something? Because I think we had quite a few things that we need to talk about. One's a calendar, finalize that discussion. The pay for the substitute teachers and the fees, you want to start in finance, correct? So I don't know, Jeff and Mike, if you can get that on the calendar, and then we can circle back for an all board meeting to just finalize everything before the 17th.
Yes, we have to almost have to have a finance committee first.
Usually those are on 13th. Does that work for people?
What day?
November 13th.
Keith, you suggested maybe a special board meeting, so have a finance committee
before our regular. Discuss those two finance aspects, and then we all get together to discuss those two finance and the calendar, finalize everything before the 17th meeting. Does that make sense?
Fine with me. I mean, so it's just a matter of finance. Usually it's on a Friday, but I guess that's
Friday the 13th.
Usually for 13th, but that may not.
It doesn't really give us enough time for special.
As a board, right?
No, I mean, we set a special board meeting. We can adjust and have a special finance committee meeting in between now and when we schedule special. And we get plenty of time to set the special, and then we'll work after tomorrow morning to set up a finance date.
Okay.
So would you like to set a special board meeting then first?
Yeah.
So as early as next week, or do you think it may be that first week in November?
I'm gone next week.
Okay. So definitely not. Just throw out dates. So the week of the 2nd through the 6th, maybe the 4th, 5th, 5th? we start all bringing all high schoolers back at 9 minutes. Third is the voting day, obviously, election day. We're off with them.
I can do the fourth if we're looking at
the fourth. You only get it once for me.
In person, virtual, is it?
I don't think it matters.
In person. I mean, we're in person.
So Jeff, you'll send out an email coordinate then?
Yeah.
Okay. We doing this at Clay or the admin? The special?
Let's just do everything here. Okay. So there's no confusion.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so now I have Wednesday the 4th for a special board meeting and November 17th for the regular board.
Yep.
And Mrs. Zabisky will take care of finance and let us know.
Yep.
Correct? Okay, good. May I then have a motion to close the meeting?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
So tonight, Mrs. Schiavone was doing it, but our part just came in yesterday that we needed to do it from a single camera.